Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Perspective. I'm super excited for this morning's show simply because I have two amazing women on the show with me. The first one is Zahra Suleiman. She's going to be talking about her thesis for her master's degree. The second lady has written a book about her abusive marriage and how she found herself. But let's get to Zahra Suleiman right away. She is the co-founder of Gift of the Givers, an amazing organization. It is world renowned, and we all know the type of amazing work that is done by Gift of the Givers. She's also a counseling psychologist, and she's the founder of the of a counseling care line, the Gift of the Givers counseling care line, and you know, in addition to lots more other things that this amazing woman is involved with. It's Women's Day, it's Women's Month, and we are here to celebrate amazing women and talk about the work that they are involved in and just how they are touching communities, they're touching individuals and making a meaningful and a very positive difference. Zahra Suleiman, assalamu alaikum to you. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and to all the audience of Hilal TV.
It's wonderful to have you on the show. And, you know, I was thinking about this interview of ours and I was wondering, what do I say? This is the woman that is the successful woman behind the successful man. You know, just how does this play out? You've been behind or side by side with your dear husband, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, and you guys have achieved amazing work, not only in South Africa, but all around the world. But then you went on, you've raised a family, and you've also gone on and you've studied psychology, and then you've embarked on your master's. And that is, of course, the crux of this conversation. We're going to be talking about the thesis, which is very interesting. Indeed, very especially for us Muslim women, and very especially for us as Muslim women who were emancipated by our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right, Zahra, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Did you get my question, my statement, and my question for that matter?
So I got your statement. I'm not sure what you're exactly asking.
Okay.
Apologies for that.
Oh, I do apologize. Okay. I'm asking about your thesis. What brought you to that point? What made you decide that, well, obviously you were studying psychology and then you went on to study for your master's and you had to present a thesis. And I'm wondering, this very busy life of yours, alhamdulillah, why that particular subject?
So working, as you introduced, that I have founded the Gift of the Givers Careline Counseling Service. We in our 27th year this year. And in my years at that time, 5 years ago when I was busy with my thesis, I had seen many, many cases of marital conflict, polygamous marriages, and lots of other issues pertaining to marriage. But particularly polygamy has not been an issue that people have been brave enough to talk about. And in my counseling over the years, I have seen how the women struggle through this, how their children struggle through this, the injustice that is meted out upon the women, irrespective of whether they're the first wife or the second wife, and that how that translates into one or the other family being excluded from the inheritance. And so there were many Muslim personal law issues that were, manifested in the way that polygamy was practiced. And so I felt it was very necessary to talk about something that no one else was brave enough to talk about.
So you're really raising the voices of Muslim women in polygamous marriages. They talk about their lived reality. And that, of course, was the basis of your work, your thesis. Have you gone back to those women that you used, you know, whose you use as case studies in your thesis? Have you given them any feedback? Have they read the thesis and what was their response?
So yes, that's actually a requirement of the study. Once the study, in fact, throughout the study, you constantly check and confer with your participants whether what you have written about their situations, if it is true to their lives. So they were involved all the way through the research. And then again, when the document was, when the thesis was completed and submitted, each one of them got their own copy. And I had gotten positive responses from every one of them because they felt that finally their story got out there, but and their voice was heard. Because women, according to the way the traditional Islam is being practiced, women do not have a voice. Unfortunately so, and yet it is so contrary to the robust Islam that was practiced in the day of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for many, many, many decades after that. But unfortunately, with the patriarchal system, women's voices are silenced. And they were very, very appreciative that their voices were heard.
Okay, obviously this needs to come out in book form so that the voices can be heard further and as loud as they possibly can be heard. I'm wondering if women in these situations, if their situations will change once the book is out in the public domain. And let's look at our community, because alhamdulillah, we do know that 1400 years ago, women were emancipated by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we look at Islam as a religion, there are rules and regulations guiding polygamous marriages. And if those rules and regulations are followed to the T, we won't have women who are not happy in their situations. We won't have the fear of second, third, and even possibly fourth wives worried about their children's rights being protected should their spouse pass away, should they no longer be around. And those are very critical issues for women in multiple marriages, second marriages, and so forth, polygamous marriages.
So, Julie, that was the very intention for why this thesis was written, why the study was undertaken. And just for correction, I'd like to say that in Islam, there is no polygamy. There is only polygyny.
That's
polygamy
right.
Means when both the male and the female are permitted to take on more than one spouse. But polygyny, the way it is practiced in Islam, it's only a man is able to practice polygyny, where he is permitted to take on one or more wives up to the maximum of four. So I want everybody to understand, we don't have polygamy, we practice polygyny. So so to answer your question, whether this will make a difference, that is my intention and that is my aim, to get the book out there to all the stakeholders, not just to the general public and to women and to men who plan to take this path, but to, you know, to reach the religious bodies, the bodies that advocate for women's rights according to Islamic law, and various stakeholders that have a crucial role to play in this scenario.
Are the religious bodies, the ulama councils, etc., have you passed on your thesis to them, and have you asked them for comment? What has come, you know, what sort of feedback have you gotten thus far regarding the religious councils or the religious bodies, the Muslim religious bodies, obviously?
So so I did a few presentations of my thesis. The one that I started with was, the organization that I started with was the IPSA College in Cape Town. And if anybody knows about IPSA, it's an institution, it's a university, Islamic university, that goes right up to master's levels. And a lot of their modules that are offered pertain to Muslim personal law. And I did my presentation there for all of the lecturers, the department, the academic department, as well as their students. And it was very well received. And being, you know, scholars there, the lecturers there, academics, they are of a very high caliber, both in secular and in Islamic studies, especially dealing to pertaining to Sharia law. And the feedback that I got from them was very positive, because they said that although polygyny is an institution that has been permitted in the Quran, and there's a framework of Sharia law to follow, but I'm not going to generalize, but in majority of the cases, it is practiced incorrectly, and hence the amount of pain and suffering that the women and the children experience simply because of the malpractice of polygyny. So I got that from IPSA. The other community radio stations where there are ulama involved, many of them are headed by ulama, they had asked me to send them the thesis, which I did, but I did not get any feedback. But many of them indicated that when the book is ready, they would like to have a look at it, and it seems that they also have the intention of wanting to propagate about this in a positive way and using the platforms to as a medium to rectify, to educate, to create the awareness of the incorrect practice, and then to modify and correct that practice. So inshallah, that is my hope and my purpose for getting it out there in a book. And I hope that Allah will realize that purpose.
Ameen, thumma ameen. I can't wait for a copy of that book, and I'm hoping and praying that you get down to it sooner rather than later. But I do know that you are a very, very busy woman, being this very successful woman standing side by side with a very successful husband, and that, of course, is Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. We're going for an ad break, Zahra. When we come back, I want to ask you about this new piece of legislation, Muslim personal law. Have you had a look at it? How do you believe it ties in with your thesis? And do you think it's the right piece of legislation for us as Muslims in South Africa regarding marriage, you know, the marriage laws in South Africa? But we will be back with you for a response regarding that question in a minute or two, inshallah. Welcome back. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are talking with Zahra Suleiman about her thesis, which inshallah will soon translate into a book and will be available to us as the general public. And it's about Muslim women in polygynous marriages, a lived reality. And let me just reframe the question that I gave to Zahra just before the ad break. And it's really regarding Muslim marriages being recognized by the state here in South Africa and Muslim personal law. There is a political party that has been raising this issue in Parliament, and I'm wondering, does it talk to exactly what Zahra is talking about in her thesis, or is there perhaps some sort of a disconnect? Zahra, back to you. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So to go back to your question, Julie, you know, this bill has been gazetted for comment and questioning, and that ends on the 31st of August. So the Department of Home Affairs has put this bill out because it needs to be legislated according to a meeting that was taken, that had happened in cabinet last year around March of 2022. And so I think we're very close to it being gazetted becoming a legislation as a single marriage act. So to go into your the issue of whether this is going to speak to some of the issues that I have raised in my thesis, yes, definitely. So to bring context to the situation, as Muslims, we have to follow the Sharia law first, and then because we're South African citizens, we follow the South African law. So yes, there has been some disconnect in the past, and over the deliberation over the last 20 odd years regarding the Muslim personal law Act, there have been many, many progresses regarding this the marriage bill. And so let me bring an example. So whilst we follow the Islamic law and the Sharia as our code of law, and our Muslim theologians preside over our cases, they are still not able to make sure that the laws that they tell us about in Sharia are implemented. And if a person defaults on the implementation, there is no arm of Sharia law that where the perpetrator will have to serve a punitive measure, such as maybe being imprisoned or maybe paying a fine or something of the sort. So that is where the secular law comes in. So let me give you an example. We have people that issue talaq to their wife left, right, and center. This is a common issue. I get people coming to me. They have been to the jamiats or the other ulama bodies, and they say, please, can you reinstitute our marriage for us? Because we uttered those words in haste and in anger. The problem with this is that, I'm just not talking about the willy-nilly utterances of talaq. There are many other issues. The woman gets disowned. The children get removed from the inheritance if there's a talaq or if something like this happens. In the cases of women where there's polygynous marriages, in the past, marriages were not recognized, and they still not be in the process of that happening. But every nikah that took place had to be registered with the Department of Home Affairs as a civil marriage. And once you had a civil marriage, then if in the case of dissolution of the marriage, whether by death or by divorce, the woman could go to the law and claim her rights, whether it was maintenance, whether it was inheritance, or whatever it may have been, the issue at the time may have been. So in that way, it's an improvement for us. It's progress for us women, because now there is recourse, there's legal recourse that we can go to, and we can have the injustices and the and all of that implemented through an arm of law, which cannot be done through the religious bodies.
I'm kind of wondering about the men in our lives, our husbands, our fathers, our brothers, our sons. You know, the fact that they overlook this very important ruling in Islam, according to Sharia, where they go into polygynous marriages, then they maltreat or mistreat either the first, second, or the third wife, and they have preferences amongst the wives, and the one is treated like a queen, the other one is treated like perhaps a servant or whatever the case may be. How do we bring them to book on these issues?
So like I said again, Islamically, there is no arm of law. Even if the woman goes to a molana or the man goes to a molana, there's nothing more that the molana can do other than giving them guidance and talking to them and telling them about how this practice should be practiced according to the Quran, according to the Sharia, the fairness, the justice, the division of time, the division of resources, and to be fair to your wife. And Allah says in the Quran as well that that man cannot be fair in his heart. He can be so physically, financially, and in terms of the division of resources. But in terms of dividing his emotions equally to both or more than two wives, or more, let's say more than one wife, it's not possible. It's not humanly possible. But then the Quran is very explicit that if that is the case, you still treat the woman, the other woman, with kindness and with dignity, and respect her for that, and for that you will be rewarded. So yes, in the Quran, it is very clear. Allah says in Surah Nisa, you can marry two, three, or four women of your choice. And I'm not quoting the exact words. I'm remembering it, and I'm talking about that verse. And Allah says, but you can only do that. And it mentions there whether you can marry an orphan child, or and it gives the other categories. But only if you can be fair and just. If not, it is better for you that you may refrain from sin. And so the Quran is very clear, very explicit.
Absolutely.
And if everybody follows that one verse, and there are a few verses subsequent to that, but that one verse, it covers everything. So going to a Molana, the Molana is going to tell you the very same thing. But when this couple leave the Molana's office and the husband continues, which is the majority of the cases, the husbands are quite arrogant. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but they feel that they've made up their own rules and their own laws, and that the first wife and the subsequent wives must just follow. They don't want to have that resistance from any of them. They just want to move on with life in the way that they are doing it, which is the unfair way.
Absolutely. And we also do know that there are very, very strict parameters ruling the multiple wives situation. You've spoken about fairness, justice, and you've also touched on something really important. And you can be fair in physical matters, but as far as the emotions are concerned, how can you be fair there? Because we do know men do have their preferences, whether you're the more beautiful or the more intelligent wife. But those are the, you know, those are the lines that get crossed. And unfortunately, the poor women are then left at the mercy of the man and his choices, preferences, and whatever else drives him in the situation of multiple wives. Let's also very quickly, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left to wrap up time, Zahra. A very huge issue in our community as well, which is not being addressed, and very especially since it is Women's Month, is the issue around GBV. This is happening, it's escalating, and I'm wondering if our ulama bodies are able or capable to be able to address this. Why are they not talking about these issues, you know, in the masjids?
On the platform.
Absolutely. The they platform. Have a platform every Friday to address the masses of our fathers, brothers, and our, you know, and our husbands, and it's not being done. Zahra?
So, you know, during the time of the corona, the pandemic, it was the prosecutor of the court, I forget, she was the ex-prosecutor of the court. Her name is Nguga, I can't remember her name, you might remember, but she mentioned that GBV was the silent pandemic. And the coronavirus is gone, we are out of that pandemic, but we are still very much in the pandemic of the GBV. And again, I say the reason that there is no recourse Islamically, and that is where this bill will be to the advantage of women, is in cases of gender-based violence. And gender-based violence does not only cover partner violence. Amongst other categories, partner violence is just one aspect of it. And yes, I cannot answer the question why the ulama would not use the minbar as a platform of education in talking to the men about how they should be treating their wives, when ironically, one of the last messages that the Prophet gave in his last khutbah on his Hajj was, treat your women kindly. So it is something that if the Prophet did it at a major event like the Hajj and mention this point of treating your women kindly in the khutbah of the Hajj, what, you know, I really do not know why our ulama are not using the platform on every Friday to cover this aspect. But we do work with the Jamiats. So to give them credit where it's due, we get a lot of referrals from the Jamiats, and the couples go to them for the same reason. And then, and often the wife says, you know what, I cannot live like this any longer, and I've come here to for a talaq. And then, of course, we have to follow the procedures, and the ulama would then refer them to us at CareLine. We would then take them through a counseling and a mediation process. So that's what we can do. But I don't think that the member is being exploited for the purpose that it's there, a purpose of education and creating awareness and using it as a platform to rectify the social issues that are relevant in our community.
And that's where we have to leave it, Zahra. I can't believe how time flies. I have to catch up with you again sometime in the future to talk about all of these issues and obviously get the message spread as widely as we possibly can by way of Hilal TV. Thank you indeed so much for your time. And just give us very quickly, when do you believe the book will be published?
So I'm actually involved in a parallel process currently. So I'm writing two chapters for a book for which I'm part of a Muslim personal law group. So I've contributed two chapters to that book. And then once that process is over, which we anticipate would be somewhere around next year, March, and then I would go with the full, with my personal book, where I would write it as a full narrative of the women's experiences. So I would say sometime next year, inshallah, who knows, maybe by August next year, if Allah wills, then we might have it ready by then.
Inshallah, Ameen. Wonderful talking with you, raising very important and pertinent questions, not only in the Muslim community, but issues that impact on women the world over. Keep well, keep up the great work. Till the next time, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you for having me on this platform.
Absolute pleasure. Go well.
Jazakallah.